And Cheryl said, my husband's a pastor and he's casting out a demon. She said, well, you know, we're going to call 911. Cheryl said, no. We have the situation well in hand. We don't need the police. All we need is men of faith to help get this done. He said, well, could you take her up to your room or something? And about that time, Dave walked by and Yesha, and Cheryl said, yes, we can. I said, Dave, get over here and help us. So Dave come over there and his first experience with a demon. So we went upstairs and threw, and of course, I forgot to tell you one little thing. After she threw herself on the floor just before Dave got there, I'm commanding her, the demon, to come out. And she so bowed her back and rolled her head back and rolled her tongue out and her eyes crossed and she throwed up all kinds of stuff and foam and everything. And I said, now then, you're free. She said, yes, I'm free. I said, good, praise God. So I thought she was. So I got up off of her, and I started to walk to the table. And as I did, this little woman jumped up, and she went airborne and kicked me with both feet at the same time right in the side. And then her feet fell back on the floor, and she's a fighting machine. This is what she'd come into me like a moor. And I just reached up and walked right into that. And I started grabbing her arms, and I threw her on the floor. Now, this is in a restaurant. On the carpet, I threw her on the floor, put this leg on her right arm, put this knee in her stomach, and I put this arm in her other arm, and I grabbed the hair of her head with my left hand, and I grabbed a handful of hair, and I said, come out of her. I'm beating her head on the floor. And the devil said, you're going to kill her. I said, if I have to kill her, that's okay. You're coming out in the name of Jesus. And I would not let up. But after that, that's when the guy came in and said, y'all have got, you're scaring everybody in the place. You've got to do something. So we said, okay, we'll take her up to the room. And that's when Dave and Yesha walked up. And, of course, Dave and I took her up the stairs. And as soon as we got in, we throwed her on the bed. And I jumped up on top of her. Cheryl sitting right there beside me. And of course, I'm commanding these demons to come out. I know there's still four of them. I get down to two. Now there's two. And she's throwing up foam and all kinds of junk. And Cheryl's getting the wash rag back and forth to the bathroom, washing her hair out. It was a pretty interesting day. And this only went on for 5.5 hours. So it wasn't exactly one of those five-minute deals. And so finally, about 5:30 that afternoon, I said, okay, God. I said, I'm fed up with this devil. I said, when is this going to be over? I said, you've told me I got all power over this devil in the name of Jesus. I said, when is it going to be over? And he spoke to me and said, when you believe in your heart it's over, he's gone. I said, okay, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, you're out. It's over. And I jumped off of her and stood up and I said, you're delivered, woman. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus. And she was. She got up a normal woman and went home. Dave talked to her another hour. And then we went to church that night and had a teaching service. But it was a very interesting day. And Cheryl and Dave, that was their first experience with a demon. And it was quite an experience, wasn't it, Dave? But Cheryl got to be a part of that, too. So it was really interesting. Now, who would ever dream a little tiny 110-pound woman with four children could be so afflicted by a demon? And when I asked, I said, how did you get in there since her sins are all repented of? He said, no, she hasn't repented of all sins. I said, well, what sin is allowing you to stay in there? He said, she let me in 24 years ago when she was a member of the Rainbow Girls. And said her mother was an Eastern Star. And said her daddies and her grandpas were all Masons. The Rainbow Girls is a girl's portion of the Eastern Star. It's a children's organization of the devil. Yep, the Rainbow Girls. That's how she let that demon in. Oh, yeah, they got them for everything. You know, they got stuff for everything. Ma'am? I'm sorry, I still... Oh, it wouldn't have made any difference. We could have still kicked them out. I've had women that were not saved that I kicked demons out of, and that I tried to lead them to Christ in the beginning, and they wouldn't want to hear it. No, I'm not interested. I don't believe in Jesus. Yeah. Well, but after I get the person, the demons kicked out of the person. When I find the sin, and I get the demon kicked out, as soon as I get them kicked out, the first thing I do, I say, now what you need is Jesus. And I have not had one yet that didn't immediately say, yes, I want to be saved. You know, that's always the way it is.
That's right.
Because in the 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, it tells you. In fact, we might go to that scripture, Dave, to show you in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, what you can do as a, and what, who is blinding our mind. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, this is the gospel we preach, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. And see, that's the way it is. The gospel is not hid to you. You're a daughter and son of God, right? You know the principles of the kingdom, or you should. Some of us don't. But in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if the God of this world is blinding your mind to the truth, you won't be able to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have you ever wondered, you know, I used to wonder this. I'd walk up to somebody and I'd say, are you a Christian? No. Well, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? No, I ain't interested. I said, do you realize that if you died, you'd go to hell? I don't believe in hell. What? But do you realize that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you got a place in heaven and He's going to give you a beautiful mansion up there and the foundations will be gold and diamonds and all those kind of things? Wouldn't you love to go there when you die? Nah, I ain't interested. You think, how can a person be that big of an idiot? That'd be just like me walking up to you and say, brother, I've got $1 million right over in that suitcase. Hey, yeah. See, now he ain't a fool. He said, I'll take it. He did, that's all we had to say right there. I'll take it. Well, now see, that if I had a suitcase full of $1 million, it wouldn't be nothing compared to what God gave you and me, has it? It ain't nothing compared to what the Lord has given us. And we're turning that down. Why are we turning Him down? Because our mind is blinded by the God of this world. Now then, if our mind's blinded by the God of this world, it's blinded because of sin. You know, sin opened the door, the devil got in, he's blinded our mind, and so therefore, until somebody comes along that can pray for you and ask God to forgive your sins and go to the throne of grace for you and start praying the prayer of faith for you, until you find somebody that prays for people, nobody's going to get saved. God has left the hands of the salvation of the souls in the hands of His church, which He's in His church, and He's in you and me. Right, Grace?
Right.
Yes, ma'am?
So I guess what my question is what you're saying is that you can remit every sin except for the sin of unbelief of not accepting Jesus. You can get rid of every hindrance by remitting all the sins, all of the demons, until they get to the point where they're of the right mind, where they want to then accept Jesus.
Yeah, and the thing to do in that case, after you've done all those things, the thing to do is to go to the throne of grace for that person. And just like Hebrews 4:16 says, go to the throne of grace. You have the right to come into the throne anytime you want to. And you can ask the Father in the name of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to convict people of sin. Because whose job is it to convict people of sin? That's God's. That's right. That's the Holy Spirit. So you ask the Father in Jesus' name to go down and begin to convict Susie, Jane, Bob, Jack, whoever, of sin. And then you ask Him to send the proper labor into the harvest to save them. And when you pray that prayer, He will send the Holy Spirit as an obedient daughter. He will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will begin to convict that person of sin. In fact, I've known of people that were so clean and so pure that somebody, they could just walk in. Only a few men I've ever known that had this power. But they were such wonderful, anointed men of God that walked in such love that a man could, he could walk into a restaurant or get on a bus or whatever. And within a few minutes, somebody would just come across and say, brother, I don't know what it is about you, but I just come under conviction of sin. I need to get saved. In your presence, I know I need to get saved.
That's right.
Now, hey, that's the anointing power of the Holy Spirit living in a man's life. And you know what? I hate to say this. It's not as powerful in my life as it should be, but it should be in every one of our lives like that.
Yes, amen.
Every one of us should be walking so holy before God that when we walk, when somebody looks up and you said, what, woman, what is that glow that's about you?
Amen.
What?
I receive that.
Thank
What is that? Oh, said it's just Jesus. No problem. It's the Holy. Is that available to anybody else? Oh, yeah, you can have it. I just knew it. I want that. Can you tell me how to do that? You say, yes, I can. And you lead them into the kingdom and get them saved.
Glory.
Now, see, that's what you and me are supposed to be doing, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then if somebody needs to get healed, we ought to lay hands on them and they ought to get healed. Yes, ma'am, your question.
When you do this, when you cast these devils out, do you teach the people then how to keep the door closed?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, let me tell you something else, and then I'll get to your question. But let me tell you, if you remit people's sins and you cast a demon out of somebody, you better get them saved right quick.
Yeah.
And then you need to teach them they need to be in the Word of God. Because in Matthew 12, what is it, 40 or 41? Where is that, Dave? Matthew 12, 40, I think it is, about when you cast a demon out. Let's go and look and see. Matthew chapter 12. No, let's go. It's a little further up somewhere in there.
Or a little bit
behind it. 37. Let's go to 37 and see. Somewhere along there. It's in Matthew 12. I know that. No, that's not what I wanted either. Where is that? My honey bunny's got to get her Bible down. Matthew 43? Okay, 43. Matthew 12, 43. Okay, go to Matthew 12, 43. Okay, there it is. That's what I was looking for. Matthew 12, 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now, when he goes out, how does he go out? Because you cast him out.
That's right.
When you cast out a devil, you make sure you command that beast that he never re-enter that person. Now, until you get trained, you know, don't mess with these things until you learn who you are. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finds none. He's been cast out, and he walks up and he says, let me find a place in this guy. No, there ain't no doors open in his house.
Nope.
Well, okay, I'm going to go back over here. Then what did he say? Next verse. He goes, then he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. So what does he call you?
A house.
His house, his dwelling place. I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished or clean.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.